أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Monday 13th of August 2001 السلام عليكم We have been discussing Surah Yusuf and we have reached ayat number around 29-30 where we have seen that the wife of Aziz the wife of the Aziz tries to put Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam in a compromising situation he tries to escape they are seen by the husband and I think we did up to washahida shahidun min ahliha and then how the shirt was torn from the back and the husband says to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam that oh Yusuf I know you are innocent and he turns to his wife and says ask forgiveness for your fault you are one of the wrongdoers now of course we know that despite this happening behind closed doors initially the only people who were witness to the event if you think about it was Zulaikha Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam himself the Aziz and the shahid the witness but this is the way of things I mean the hotter the news the faster it spreads you know in the palaces even the walls have ears who knew how the word got out that is not there but what is there for sure is that very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse wa qala niswatun fil madina the women in the town began to talk about the whole episode
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
There were only four people.
Yes.
Right? Now, out of these four, Nabi Yusuf would not have mentioned this to anybody.
That's right, that's right.
The other three, were they mentioning around the town? Would they have also mentioned that Nabi Yusuf was innocent, or would they have left that?
No, they would probably have left that. Having said that...
The reason I'm mentioning that, because here there's an interesting thing in the margin that says, the Bible is silent about the guiltless acquittal of Joseph. But the Quran has not allowed the false charge to be disproved.
Yeah, I mean disproved by the fact that giving logical proof about the shirt.
No, but the Bible might be silent because those guys never knew about it because apart from Nabi Yusuf, nobody would have said anything.
Possibly. I mean the Bible and even the Talmud is got some wildly differing styles about this event. But I can't say because I haven't bothered myself with the Bible to be honest with you. Although it would be interesting to read it sometime from the Bible. The Quran is quite, in this particular case, we've got so much from the Quran that we look at the Quran. But the idea is that in my mind, I feel that it reinforces the tafsir we did where we said that the shahid is not the baby. Because there are hadiths from Aimma alayhi salam attributed to them to say that this was the witness in question was a baby in a cradle. But last week, we talked about two important reasons why it cannot be the baby. And the first one is that the hadith quoted from Aimma alayhi salam contains extremely weak sanad, weak chain of transmission, means that it is most likely a forgery. And the second thing is we said that logically, if a baby could speak, that itself is a miracle. And the baby then doesn't have to give logical arguments. All the baby has to say is Yusuf is innocent. The fact that a baby who otherwise would not speak says it is enough proof on its own. You see, like when Bibi Maryam, when she came out with the baby, it's interesting that when the people said to Bibi Maryam, "What have you done?" Ma kana abuki imra'a sawin, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Your father was not a bad man. And your mother did not have loose morals. Hence they were saying, how did this baby come about and you are not married? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ She just pointed to the baby. The baby didn't say, my mother is innocent. The very fact that the baby spoke was enough proof that this was a special miracle. He said, إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ أَتَانِي الْكِتَابِ I am a servant of Allah. I have been given a book. وَجَعَلَ النَّبِيَّ And I have been made a prophet. He didn't say, my mother is innocent of what the charge is. So the baby speaking is enough. So this baby, if it was a baby, spoke, would not have to say, logically, look at his shirt. Is it torn from the back, torn from the front? So it is more likely that the tafsir, based on a hadith that states that it was an official, someone who was well versed in judgments, who was also incidentally related to Zulaikha. We know he was related because Quran says min ahliha, and also when he places the argument, he places Zulaikha's argument first. He says, look at his shirt, if it's torn from the front, then she is innocent. So it shows that he's trying to find out if she's innocent first. But if it's torn from the back, then she's a liar. So you'll see he places her case first. In any case, this is a further thing that I believe that the only one of the four who could possibly talk about it would have been this Shahid. Because it wasn't in Zulaikha's interest and Aziz's interest to talk. Zulaikha, not because she was ashamed, but because she was unsuccessful. Yusuf, because why should he talk about it? If it made any difference to his situation, he would talk about it. Otherwise, what's the point? Right? And Aziz, because it's not the kind of thing one goes about saying about one's wife, because it reflects badly on the self. So the only one who could perhaps have brought this out is the Shahid, who talked about it. Maybe he spoke to his wife, who then spoke to someone else, and and so on. We don't know, we are conjecturing at this point, but there is some evidence pointing towards this. Now, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَقَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّةً.
Sorry, one point. There's nothing to mention that there was nobody else around behind.
It doesn't say. Yeah, that's it. They might have been servants. And again, in these places, I tell you, the servants know everything. In a house of royalty, in any house where they are servants, they know everything, believe me. They hear everything, they know everything. That is why to sack a servant is a big problem for the royal family and people like that, because invariably they will go to the press with their stories, and it has happened in the past. So, we don't know. Anyway, the women were talking about it. Zulaikha heard. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنْ When she heard of their talk, this talk, according to tafsir, was meant to reach Zulaikha. These women wanted to find out more about this mysterious ghulam who had caused the Aziz's wife. You see, in their hierarchy, the Aziz's wife was top. She was the wife of the most powerful of them. These were all nobles' wives. This Niswatul Madina is talking about that kind of circle that she moved in. When she heard that, she arsalat ilayhin, she invited them. وَعَتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً مُتَّكَأً, it's like she prepared for them a nice restful place, where you can rest. Like this same word we use, takiyo, as well in Gujarat. So they were like, reclined comfortably. And then she gave them, وَعَتَدْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا. She gave them all a knife. Right? And then she told Yusuf alayhi salam, وَقَالَ تُخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ Come in front of them. Come out in front of them. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ When they saw him, they أَكْبَرْنَهُ They praised him, or they deemed him great, it says in my translation. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ They cut their hands. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرٌ And they said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ means it is an exclamation of amazement. مَا هَذَا بَشَرٌ This cannot be a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ If he is anything at all, he is an angel. Now, obviously this is an interesting word. We see here, you see what comes through of Zulaikha is her total lack of shame. Okay? And also confidence from the very mild response her husband gave. Husband just said, you are from the wrong, you are a wrongdoer, ask for forgiveness, that's it. He didn't, what a normal husband should have done was much more reaction than this. So she was emboldened by that, by the mild, and it shows also society at the time was fast and loose when it came to morality of this sort. She is unashamed, she invites them. Hadith says about 10 of them. She invited 10 of them to a banquet. She sat them down comfortably, that means, it was probably a meal and they were comfortably seated, in a place where they were now waiting for something. And then she gave them sharp knives to cut some fruit. Fruit we have got in our tafsir, it was orange or it was apple, it was a fruit. Okay, that is what we know. Now, what is interesting is that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, probably the question arises, why did he come out? I mean, he must have known that to come out in a situation like this, you know, why did he come to parade himself? That question arises in the mind. The answer is in this hadith, in this ayat itself actually, if we look carefully. You see, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was unaware of what was actually being planned. As far as he was concerned, he was a waiter or a servant. It was his job. He was a slave in the house, but not like other slaves. He had some more rights. But at the end of the day, he was still a slave. Zulaikha had told him, some of my friends are coming round. I want you to be present to serve them. And it was not an unusual thing. But Quran doesn't say, when they were all arrayed and waiting for something, Quran doesn't say that she told Yusuf, enter the room. Otherwise it would have used the word udkhul alayhim. What it says is ukhruj, come out from where you are. It shows that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was in a room which was annexed to the main room, busy with something. Hadith says he was busy with some preparations. And she called him, just come out, will you? Ukhruj means to come out. Whereas if she was planning to display him, she would have said, enter now. The word would have been udkhul. And the way he came out from a side room, not from where they were expecting, not from the entrance, it also shows how taken aback they were. He suddenly appeared from a room where they didn't expect anyone to come from, and he came in front of them, hence their akbarnahu. They were taken aback. And of course he was, as we know, an extremely handsome young man. So this is, the tafsir says that this word ukhruj here indicates that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was unprepared also, and the women were unprepared also for him.
I mean, these were Zulaikha's very close friends.
Yes.
This is the first time they saw Yusuf?
Possibly. You see, that is another thing, that Yusuf alayhi salam was attacked by, or was not attacked, but whatever Zulaikha did to her was after he had reached a certain age of buluga. And possibly before then, he was not in front of company, he was amongst the children, whatever. But this is the first time they probably saw. But the point is that Zulaikha set the stage for maximum what we call stun factor, you know, the knives she had given. And they were busy cutting fruit, right? They were busy cutting, and they were taken aback by this. So it shows Husna Yusuf. See, that even women like these, who possibly had loose morals, and they were abundant of slaves in those days, there was something about the radiance of Yusuf Islam that caught them by surprise. They cut Aydiyahin. Here Aydiyahun, although Yad means hand in Arabic, Yad, but in the Quran Yad has been used for hand, for finger, for arm also. So it is for the whole side, if you like. You know, I mean, like when it talks about wudu, it talks about, use the word Yad. But it, you know, it says wash your arms, including the elbows, using the word Yad. When it says the hand of Allah is over their hand, it's a figurative way of saying it talks about the normal hand. Or cut the hand of the thief. Or, for in this case, they cut their fingers. That means they could not pay attention to what they were doing. And they cut themselves in amazement. Okay?
And they said,
Hasha lillah.
They believed in God.
Well, it meant, you see, most of these idol worshippers believed in God, most of them. If you look at the Quran, even Makkans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Kabut, if you ask these kuffar of Quraysh, who is their Lord, they will say Allah. They will say Allah. Then tell them, why are they ignoring Allah and worshipping idols? You see, so all of them knew there was a supreme, right? So it is like, Hasha lillah may not, obviously, don't forget, these people, these are all Arabic verses are paraphrases of what really was happening. You see, it's a whole lecture on its own, because these people are not speaking Arabic. You see, where the question arises, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes Adam, he quotes Nuh, he quotes Ibrahim, he quotes Musa, he quotes Yusuf. These people are talking different languages, but Allah quotes them in eloquent Arabic. the question arises, does Allah paraphrase what they are saying? Is it this what they truly said? Is it an equivalent or what? That is a debate for another day. But Hashanillah means they praised the higher, you know, whoever they believed in, most high. But it was like, you know, when somebody makes a spontaneous wahjil, you know, Subhanallah, we say. Right? MashaAllah, Subhanallah.
What is the word Hasha actually mean?
Hasha is like an interjection without any real meaning.
It doesn't have a real
meaning. It doesn't have a real, as far as I know. Because even in my translation, it has been translated as Hashalillah. I don't know about the other.
It says Allah is perfect in the
Bible. Allah is perfect. Hasha.
It says far from God is every imperfection.
Perhaps it means Hasha is perfection of some sort. Perfection. Lillah ila to Allah. Something is being ascribed to Allah. Possibly perfection. Means ke Allah ne banaye hue che. And I remember there was a Maulana, I forget his name, but he was describing his own event. And we were talking, sitting in one of the just after majlis gatherings, and he said that in his days when he was studying at Aligarh University. There was a lot of, obviously, Aligarh University, famous Indian university, but more Sunnis than Shia. And he mentioned that once I was speaking and the Dean was present and we were giving a talk, it was Jashni Ali, Imam Ali Day. And even the Sunnis, obviously, and except Ali, Imam Ali al-Islam and so on, and they were all talking about it. And he said, I was asked to talk, so I talked about Imam Ali al-Islam. He mentioned that event, which is there in Sunni books also, that in one of the battles, Ali ibn Abi Talib was actually struck by an arrow, and the arrow lodged into the foot, and Imamullah continued to fight, but after the battle was over, it was a question of removing the arrow, but the arrow was lodged in such a way, there was so much pain that he couldn't bear for it to be touched. It was probably, you know, in that kind of position. And there was a lot of pain while they were trying to remove it. They removed the head, but, you know, Imam couldn't bear the pain of it. So, someone said, leave it be for now. Let Ali ibn Abi Talib stand up in prayer first. So, when Mullah stood up in prayer, then somebody came and just pulled it out in one go, and Imam Ali did not flinch. So this is, you may have heard of this also, and it is a famous one of Fadail of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and it is being recited. This is commonly recited, this is then Sunni and Shia books also. So the man, Maulana, said that when I was reciting this, when I said this, the Dean actually interrupted me. And it was unheard of for the Dean to interrupt someone in the mid-floor. It indicated severe censure, you know. He said, what is the problem with you, Shia? When will you stop? Why do you recite these fantastic tales about Ali ibn Abi Talib? There is much more that is more authentic than these wild stories. So I'll tell you what, if that's all you've got, please desist. Don't carry on with this sort of life. So he said, I was taken aback. I didn't know what to do. So I said that I will recite some Quran in my allotted time. And he said, I opened Surah Yusuf by a stroke of chance and I recited this. And he said, God brought me this intuition in such a flash. I said then, when I recited this, I said, if by just seeing a mortal man, these women cut their fingers unaware of the pain, then what of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was in the presence of his creator? Why couldn't he be so immersed in the beauty of Allah that he also did not notice the pain, you know? So he said that, and he said the Deen could not answer. So it's interesting that there is, one can be so engrossed in something, he does not feel a pain in it. That is what this ayah is. In any case, what she was, she said to them then, قالت, when this was their big response to him, she said, قالت فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه. This is the one about whom you have been talking and blaming me. ولقد راودته عن نفسه فاستعصم. I tried to seduce him from his pure self, but he refused, or he abstained. And then, this again shows the character of her. She was unabashed, unashamed, and unrepentant. And she gives a threat to Yusuf alayhi salam, right there in front of him. But, وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمَرُهُ If he continues to not do what I tell him, لَيَسْجُنَنَّ I am going to imprison him. وَلَيَكُونَ مِّنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ And he will be humiliated as a result. So, she was trying to say to them, look, you are blaming me about him. You have just seen him. I'm living with him all the time. You know, when she said, the way she said it, this is the one about whom you are blaming me. So you have just seen him for 2 seconds. Look at your reaction, cutting your fingers. I am having to live in this house with this man all the time. So don't blame me. And then she says, but I am going to get my will hook or crook from him. But Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam at that time says that if imprisonment is what it is, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِ إِلَيْهِ Prison's better for me than what, or dearer to me. I prefer it compared to what these people are suggesting I do. And then an interesting part, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ If you do not avert their plans from me, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ Now, it doesn't mean, as a prophet even, of course he had already been tried and he had come out successful. But even he was saying that, look, Ya Allah, without your help, I don't know how strong my conviction will be against the continuous onslaught of these people. It is better for me to be out of their path. It's very interesting and very important message here for us. And that is this, that don't underestimate a situation. Don't think yourself, to yourself that I know this is something that I shouldn't be doing. Like for example, when one of the things discouraged by Islam is that a man meets a woman on any matter, a non-mahram woman alone. And he may feel in his heart that I have come just for business, just for some work, just for whatever. But do not underestimate the guile of shaitan, no matter what intention you start with. This is an extremely volatile situation you are entering into. Because there will come a time. There will come one time in that relationship, in that meeting, second time, third time, whenever, that you will find that your niyyah, it goes on the wrong path. Whether then you bring it into control or not, but that is the nature of this kind of thing. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet in what we are told is avoid a situation before it happens. Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to remove himself. He was a prophet, but he wanted to remove himself from the situation, lest even he be tempted. And he equates this kind of behavior, that those who are tempted to go into this kind of deviant behavior, as an jahileen. That means people who are ignorant, only they would fall prey to this. So
why ignorant? Because even a person who knows would still fall into prey.
Yes.
So why ignorant?
Jahil in terms of ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, I think you've done this before, and I've written there. This implies that ignorant can be someone who is learned but does not know how to use that knowledge.
Possibly, because there are people who do have knowledge, but they do not act on that knowledge despite having it. Yeah, that's right. So it doesn't mean, you see, man has got some weaknesses. Some weaknesses. Man is created with certain weaknesses, and no matter how strong he is, it is better for him not to enter into a situation where he tests himself constantly. It's better for him to just not be there. You know? You'll be amazed at how far the hadith go. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, I do not want you even to sit on a chair just vacated by a woman, because you will still feel the warmth of her sitting there, and it may induce in your mind certain forbidden thoughts. That's Ali ibn Abi Talib. So you see how far do you, what Mola is saying. He's saying avoid the situation because shaitan is there. And shaitan, you know, when Nabi Nuh alayhi salam was in the kashti, you know, he saw one of the men he saw in the corner of the boat. He said, I don't recognize this one as one of the people who came with us. So he went to talk to him. He said, old man, who are you? He said, well, there is no dry place left. I'm hitching a ride on your ark, Nabi Nuh. It was shaitan. So, and then he said, in return for this, I will give you some of my secrets. And he said four or five things. I will mention only one. He said, remember this, Noah. Tell your people that when a two na-mahram, men and woman, come together thinking they are alone, no matter what pretext they are on there, I am the third one there. Make no mistake, that is the best ground for me to attack them. I will attack the man or the woman, but I will not leave them. That's one of my trade secrets I'm letting you know, he said. It shows, I mean, cast your own minds back and you will see the truth of this, that, you know, these situations are best avoided. Just avoid those kind of confrontational situations or situations. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I answered his prayer and I helped him. He asked for my help. A prophet of God, a prophet of God, ma'soom, with all the ma'rifah, requires help in this kind of situation. Allah says, he needed my help, I answered him. I turned away their guile, their plans from him. How did he turn away? The answer is in the next verse. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. It now occurred to them, after a while, or after this, it occurred to them that they should imprison him for a while. Now here it says, بَعْدَ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ, after they saw signs. How is it translated then?
After they had seen the signs, in brackets, of his innocence.
Yeah.
That they should imprison him.
Yeah. Mm. It's true and yet it's not full. The signs are, they had seen the signs that Yusuf alayhi salam, not that he was innocent, that of course he was innocent, that Yusuf alayhi salam was a danger in their midst. There was a problem there. There were two or three things. First of all, he was innocent. The shirt had proved that. Second, he was resistant to any sort of coercion. They could not get what they wanted from him, the women. Third, he had said, I'll go to prison first before, and I would rather be in prison. And fourth, Aziz saw in him a danger to his own name and dignity. And I feel, although it's not mentioned here and I haven't seen a hadith, but if you do some tadabbur on this, I feel that Aziz ek pocho manasat. You know, what we call, you know, he didn't have conviction. But now it was a case of even the wives of the other nobles. And I feel that they must have got together and said to him, look, who is this one who is causing so much fuss and so much problem with in our women folk? Remove him from the scene. So it occurred to them that they should imprison him for a time, get him out of the picture. I feel that perhaps one or two of the other men must have made a fuss and said, this son or adopted son of yours or slave of yours, we don't want him around. Okay, he is more trouble than he is worth. Thinking, sorry?
Thinking in a logical way, contrary, still positive.
How?
He's not harmful, the woman.
Well, yes, he is not harmful, obviously. That's an interesting way of looking at it, but not to the women, not to the men as well. Because the women felt, you see, you've got to understand the mentality. These people probably thought that it was only a matter of time. They would continue to try. They had probably come across situations like that. They had lots of money, lots of power. They can use many tactics.
Because the woman decided instead of Aziz.
Well, that's right. There was a pressure on. They here in hadith we get they means the women. Another hadith says they mean Aziz and the nobles. Another hadith says that they means Aziz and Zulaikha, both of them thought imprisoned Kainakon. So they were imprisoned. Although he was innocent, a man goes to prison. And of course, because he was put into prison, it somehow created, it's an extra humiliation for Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, because it gave the impression that he was the guilty one when he was innocent throughout. I mean, like, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing is the extent of temptation.
So maybe that's
and
why
the extent of
maybe that's why they put him into prison, because in order to make them feel better, that let him look guilty. As you said.
Yeah, she said, Nake, if he continues, I will humiliate him by imprisoning him. I will imprison him and فَيَكُونَ مِنَ السَّاغِينِ. وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ السَّاغِرِينَ. He will be from those brought low, humiliated. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is painting a picture of a man who has been put under so much different kinds of pressure and yet refuses to bow down. You see, you start off by first of all saying, you know, that I have given, Zulaikha was saying to him, we raised you, you were nothing, you were a slave. We gave you our home and all this, now you deny me, first. Second, she tries to lock him in. Third, knowing that he's a young man, not married. Third, the pressure from all the women together. Fourth, imprisonment. All this kind of thing. And Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, tempted all this way, pressured all this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing how pure the man actually resisted all these things. And, you know, it should be something we learn from. Ji. A35 Taygush.
Okay.
The next part is quite in Taru thing has stopped as well, just in time. Right, second part now, just after Salat. In this one verse, Quran moves fast forward, as is the style in many narrations. I think we are, alhamdulillah, blessed to get this much detail about any one particular person in the Quran as we have in Surah Yusuf. Otherwise, the Quran is very brief in the detail it gives. But in this particular Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to actually, for the Quran, this is quite a lengthy and spaced out explanation or narration. In any case, between verse number 35 and 36, Tafsir tells us that 5 years passed. The innocent Yusuf is in prison for 5 years. And then, one day, وَدَخَلَ مَعْهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ. Two youth entered the prison and were in the same quarters as he was. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا. One of them said, إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا. I see myself squeezing wine. وَقَالَ الْآخِرُ إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَحْمِلُ فَوْقَ رَأْسِي خُبْزًا. The other one said, I see myself carrying on my head bread. تَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْهُ. Birds are eating from it. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّ نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Tell us the meaning of it, of what we have seen. إِنَّ نَرَاكَ لَمِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see that you are from the Muhsineen. Essentially, the two youth who entered, we mustn't get the feeling that these were three only prisoners. There were many prisoners. The two youth entered this prison, young men, and obviously after a little while they found out what the mechanics of that prison cell were, who were the people who were worth keeping in contact with, who were the ones to avoid and so on. And Tafsir tells us that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam in the time in prison had made a name for himself for being someone who was helpful, someone who was intelligent in the way he actually interpreted things, and someone who was generally a good person to know and keep in touch with. And these two, they entered the prison. After a while, they began to get recurring dreams, recurring same theme, same dream over a period of time. Knowing of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's reputation, they came to him. So we see that it's very brief, but that is exactly what happened. They didn't just come in and talk to him. One of them says to him, now, who are these two and why were they there? Tafsir tells us that one of them was the royal wine server. He would serve the king. The king, you know, he would be the cupbearer of the king, and if the king felt like a drink, he would tell him and he would serve him wine amongst other things. The other one was the royal cook, one of the royal cooks. They were both in prison because they were under suspicion of having attempted to poison the king, but the king was not sure which of the two it was, and an investigation was going on into the whole event. In the meanwhile, these two were put into prison pending investigation. Both of them were seeing these dreams. It's interesting that the way the dream is described, the first one says, Inni Arani, you know, when Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam narrated his dream, he said, Inni Ra'itu. So the difference between Inni Ra'itu and Inni Rani, one means I saw and one means I see. Alright, one is past tense. These guys are narrating their dream in present tense. Inni Rani, I see myself. And Mufassirin state that that means that they have been receiving this dream so many times that they're actually like, they can remember every detail of it. It is not a fuzzy dream. They see it clearly. It is like they see it now. It is like they're saying, I can see myself doing this, what he was seeing in the dream the previous night. Also, some of the one of the comments I saw about this verse in an article written by Christians saying that the Quran is inconsistent, or an inconsistency in the Quran, is that they point to this verse saying, Quran says A'asiru khamra, whereas A'asiru is never to khamra. A'asir is squeezing. Khamr is wine. One does not squeeze wine. One squeezes grapes to make wine, right? So they say this is a grammatical inconsistency. The Quran, na'udhu billah, these are people who don't even know Arabic grammar, wanting to comment on the grammatical content of the Quran. It is essentially, in one word, it means he was squeezing the grapes to make wine and not for other reasons. So he sees himself preparing grapes for wine. As we know, we can take grapes, crush them and make grape juice, which is perfectly okay to drink. But if we ferment that, allow it to ferment by either adding to it fermenting agents or boil it so that some of it boils away, and there is whatever process is used, I don't know what the exact fermentation process is, but I know some yeasts are added, whatever, then it becomes an intoxicant. It becomes a wine. Alright? So he saw himself actually preparing wine, squeezing it and actually making the process so that it would form wine, and then he is going to actually, with a view to serve the king with that. The other one saw himself carrying bread. He was the cook. He saw himself, he just had baked lots of bread. He was carrying the bread. He was taking it, but he wasn't getting very far. The birds were taking it all away. This is a dream. Now, as we know with dreams, and we discussed that briefly, I don't want to go into it, that these dreams are distorted realities, but occasionally they do indicate or foretell the truth of what is to happen. Interestingly, Quran in this surah talks about four dreams. All of them were prophetic. One dream by Yusuf alayhi salam, two dreams by these two prisoners, and one dream by the king, which we will see. So they indicated this dream, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's reputation made them come to him. Now Nabi Yusuf's reaction is amazing. It's very interesting. He doesn't tell them just straight away the meaning of the dream. Neither does he tell them, I don't know, because he didn't know. What does he do? He says to them, first of all, قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَ التَّعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ. Interesting way. إِلَّا نَبِّئْتُكُمَا بِتَعْوِيلِهِ. Your evening meal, which you normally get, or your meal, which you normally get, will not come before I have told you the meaning of this dream. So first of all, he reassures them, don't worry. What you want, I have the answer. Don't worry about it. Don't think that I am just going to talk in circles and not tell you what you need to know. I know what you need to know, and I will tell you even before the next meal approaches. And then he says, ذَلِكُمَ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِ رَبِّي. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, has taught me. Now, there are several tafsirs of what this means. Some of us are quite convinced that what actually Nabi Yusuf is referring to by ta'wil is this, that to prove to them that he had some paranormal skills, he said to them, look, I am not an ordinary person. Before this meal comes today that you are going to get, I am telling you now what that meal will contain. Alright? I am telling you that this and this and this will come this evening. And they, when the food came, it was exactly as Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam had said. And he said, this is a skill and knowledge given to me by Allah. And the proof they give is that the placing of ta'wil is exactly in between the verse where he talks about food. It does flow. Read it like this, look. They will not bring you the food with which they feed you, but I will tell you ta'wilihi before it comes to you. Ta'wil means not only interpretation, obviously, it means the reality, the reality of it before it comes. But other Mufassireen say that it was not necessary for him to prove anything to them. he was not there saying, come to me all and sundry, I will interpret your dreams. Besides which, they had already approached him to translate the dream. So they knew he was capable. So they say that that is not what it is, but what it was rather Nabi Yusuf a.s. was giving them a time frame. That I am going to tell you some things, which may not be directly the answer you seek. However, the answer you seek will come to you before the evening meal arrives. The time for the meal was known. The time that every day the meal used to arrive was known. So they knew, say it was an hour from now, 2 hours from now. He was saying, before that meal comes, you will already know the meaning of your dream, don't worry. But I am seeking some time because I want to say some things to you. Alright, that's what it means. And that makes more sense, because if I start talking to you today, you came at 8 o'clock, ne hum chalu kai lo tafsir classes tame khabar nahi aabas 12 vage class karon che 2 vage class karon che 4 vage savana class karon, you are not going to be with me because there is that uncertainty. You don't know, but you know it's finishing at 9:30 inshallah, so you have a time frame in mind and you know, okay, fine, we are here, we have got to, you know, participate for 1 hour and a half. Because say you had come here for some specific answer, all I told you is Ajay in this session tomorrow answer mali jas, you don't know when, but you know that's by the end of class, and the end of class is 9:30. So you are, no, okay, you are in for 1.5 hours with me. That is what Yusuf wanted. He wanted some time to take that to explain to them something, but he wanted to give them a time frame so that they would not feel ki aa to patwanu nahi, kaanke he was going to preach now. And the other extremely important lesson is that, of course, he had a captive audience, if you excuse the pun, you know, the audience was going nowhere. Yeah. They were right there, they were stuck with him, they needed him. Now, he took advantage of that time to teach them. And many times, we are in similar positions, but either we are a bit apathetic to the situation, or we can't, you know, we feel a bit awkward in bringing it up, or whatever. I'll give you a simple example. Today, for example, I have a friend who sleeps over. Good friend, we get on, everything, but he's never slept over before. Now I wake him up for Fajr namaz, he doesn't pray. That takes me back. I thought, I didn't realize you don't pray. Khair. But instead of saying something to him, we meet again and again and again and again, and we have plenty of opportunities where we are together, where we are free with each other, we say many things. I never use that time to tell him that, look Baba, this is part of who we are. If we don't pray Fajr, that is a direct violation of God's command. So that kind of, another, any event where you have, for example, power over someone, because either they are your guests, they require something from you or whatever, you can use this opportunity to try to preach to them. In a very gentle way, I mean, obviously you don't come across Bible bashers as they're called, but there are ways and means. One can try, one can gently bring out things. And this is what it means. He could easily have told them, this is the meaning of your dream, go. But he thought, and what I find fascinating, I've not seen it in tafsir, but the more I think about it, the akhlaq of Yusuf, and the wisdom of Yusuf. He knew, the moment he had the dream, he knew the meaning, straight away. He knew that this one is going to die, he's going to be hung. And I'll tell you the meaning of the dream, which he gives, I think you all know it anyway. So he counseled both of them. The one who was hours away from death, because he was going to be found guilty and he was going to be put on the cross, crucified. Even he used to spend time in counsel, taught him Tawheed Ilahi. So he says to them, I'll give you your answer, don't worry, we are only here for this much more time. And first of all, he begins by stating that all knowledge, everything that we have that is worth having, including that knowledge I possess, which I'm going to use to answer you, it has one source. It doesn't come from me, doesn't come from, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there was one man, just reminded me. I think Abbas might remember the name, anyway, we were both together when we heard about it the first time, I think. In any case, this man was on his deathbed. He was going to die, and one of the ulama found out. He used to always come to this alim to ask him questions. He found out that this man is dying, so he came to visit him. Because the man had said, ki mane ani maluch. So he said, somebody came to him and said, before he dies, he wants to see you. So he said, okay, so we should go. So he went, when Maulana went to him and said to him, suche, so he said, ki mane ek sawal che. مسائل جانو شی مجھے. تو مولانا سیڈ ٹو ہم بٹ بردر آفٹر آئی ول آنسر یور کوسچن. ہی آنسر دس کوسچن از ایکٹلی بٹ یو آر ڈائنگ. ہی سیڈ آئی وانٹ ٹو ڈائی نوئنگ دیٹ مسائل. آئی وانٹ ٹو ڈائی بٹ آئی وانٹ دیٹ مسائل کلیئر. یو انڈرسٹینڈ that there is never too late, or it's never, you know, he knows that one missile may be, he will act on it, maybe. So this was the same thing. Nabi Musa, Nabi Yusuf al-Islam already knew who was going to live, who was going to die, but he actually nonetheless taught them. And then he told them that I got this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I did one thing. What? And he gives the reason. I forsake the religion of those people who do not believe in Allah. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And they belie the hereafter. Instead, I follow the religion of my grandfather, Ibrahim, wa Ishaq, and then wa Yaqub. And مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We do not, we are not of the kind, we are not the family who do shirk at all. I mean, Ibrahim alayhi salam was the original idol smasher. You know, this is what he's saying, that my grandfather is the one who took the idols and broke them one by one. This is the family I come from. We do not do idol worship. And then he says that, and it is not lawful for us, this is Allah's grace upon us. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُ. And he says that if you forgo shirk, if you become a true muwahid, this is a message to us also, that you do not associate anything in your priorities, only Allah is there, nothing else, then you also will be recipient of the fadl of Allah. Because he says, this is the fadl of Allah on us. Fadl means grace, extra mercy on us and on all the human beings. Everyone who forsakes shirk will become recipient. That's why, you know, we say in the dua that oh Allah, when you come to judge us by your fadl, don't judge us by your adala, right? Amilna bi fadlik wa la tu'amilna bi adlik. Because if Allah judges us by justice, where will we be? Instead we say to him, judge us by your mercy, so that your fadl, your grace, that's how you account for us, not with your adl, because in adl we will all fail. So he's saying, you, this fadl which I have received from Allah, I have got. And many, all of you can get. And many get, but they are not thankful for it. He says that a lot of people get it, but very few actually acknowledge that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they thank him for the blessings. He says here, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُ. And then he says to them, what is better? Many lords who differ in themselves, or one, Allah, who is dominant over all of them. Tells them that you are worshipping are just names. They are nothing more than names. You call them Ra or whatever you call them. In one place in Surah, when he refers to the people of Nuh, Allah actually names the idols. Yafas and others. They're in the Quran. That these are the idols you worship. Here he says, these are just names. This is this one, that is that one. That they're just names. They have no power. And you worship them, you think they can do anything. Allah has not given them any, delegated to them any power to give you anything at all. Right? Then he gives a very simple prescription. What I like about this verse is that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam actually encapsulates, summarizes Islam in one word, one phrase, and that really is the summary of Islam. He says to them, and this is how he is explaining to people with no background in religion, people who are atheists or perhaps idol worshippers, and he gives them the prescription of Islam. He says to them, do you know what Islam is? ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرًا. Before that he says, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. This is Islam. Command, authority, judgment comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But أَمْرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. As for human beings, they should worship none but him. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a command zape, human beings do ubudiyyah. That's all. They are true abd of Allah. That's it. That's all the prescription of Islam. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. That is Islam in one line. God is the legislator. His creatures or created ones are the ones who obey. They worship him. Even in other places, the Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Okay? After all this, right? Now he brings them to what they were waiting. Okay? He says, now I will do ta'wil of what you are, what you wanted. So he says to them, Ya sahiba is-sijn, O my two companions of the sijn, of the prison. This is ayat 41. Amma ahadukuma, as for one of you, فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا, he will pour out wine, he will be saqi, for his lord, for the king, wine. Well, that means he will be restored once more to his position. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, as for the other, فَيُسْلَبُ, he will be crucified, فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ, and left in such a way that the birds will eat from his head. Means that he will not only be crucified, but his body will be left to the elements, it will rot, and even his brains will be plucked by the birds. Now at this point, I'm sure that the cook, if he had any sense at all, was already suspecting the worst. There was a meaning to the dream, and it was not a good meaning, right? His dream wasn't exactly of one, we would say, a very good meaning to it. The other one, his dream was, okay, it could be interpreted in many ways. But this one's dream was, he's prepared something, he's trying to do something with it, bring it to the kitchen, but before he can do that, the birds are eating all of it. He knew. The moment Yusuf alayhi salam gave this gave this news, immediately the cook began to withdraw. He had already planned or half suspecting such a meaning. He said, I didn't see this dream at all really. I'm just joking, mazak kar raha. I was just joking, thinking, this is a bad interpretation of my dream. And Yusuf alayhi salam tells him, look, this is the last part of the verse. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, the matter has already been decreed. You withdraw your dream or not. You claim that you didn't dream or not. So what you have asked me about, this matter is decreed. That means it is going to pass. End of story. This is how it's going to happen. Interestingly, of course, if you look at it, the wine server was the one who was doing the wicked thing, if you like. Yeah, serving wine, which is not allowed. The one which are preparing bread, he was the one who was
crucified. Poison the king.
Yes. The answer is that the king established that he was the one who was truly trying to poison him. And the other one was not trying to poison him.
So why was he trying to
The other tafsir says that he was passing secrets to the enemy. There are two. That the king suspected them either of one, not both at the same time. One hadith says poisoning, and that's the main one. But there's one hadith I read that says the king thought one or two of them was actually a spy. And he wanted to find out which. Obviously not. But it was, let me rephrase that. It was drunk by the king, yes. Whether it was haram or not. I think there are some very interesting rules that were there in, for example, the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, even Nabi Musa alayhi salam, that are no longer there now. And there are more, there are certain conditions which we have to live to today, which were not there then. But I believe that there may be some particulars. The fundamental thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La tabdilu li sunnatillah. Something like this, Surah Fatha. You will never find a change in God's style, God's sunnah, God's way. And what it means essentially is those things that are essentially important and integral parts, where one of them I believe is intoxication, is extremely dangerous. Those things you would not find changing. Some rules, some eating habits.
But couldn't you say that it wasn't haram until Rasulullah made it haram in his time? Before that it was...
We're talking about people essentially.
I mean, it was probably beyond the akhlaqiyat of the Nabi, Anbiya.
Yes.
But I mean, for ordinary people, it wasn't made haram.
Essentially, yes, because that was one of the big problems. I mean, many Muslims were found to just secretly have some stores of palm wine, even after, because they found it's one of the hard rules to give up. I suppose a bit like maybe smoking suddenly became. But essentially, that one can see that, yes. People who at this time were not following any particular religion, right? In Canaan, Yaqub alayhi salam was there for that group of people. He was not an authority on these people here. They probably had no precedent to follow and they were drinking. But it doesn't mean the drinking was allowed of it. Okay. The baker was guilty. But whether he was truly guilty, yes, I think there's no evidence that he was accused unjustly. The king had nothing to gain by letting go one. You see, it must have been the baker, otherwise he would have never released the other one. If the other one was guilty, he would never have restored him to his position. He restored him to his position. Maybe he raised him later on, but he restored him to the position of serving him. If there was the least doubt in his mind, he would never have done it, because it would be dangerous for him. Right. Now comes another interesting verse. Nabi Yusuf al-Islam obviously knew what was going to happen. So he said to the one who he knew was going to live, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِ. He said to the one who he knew was going to be saved from the two of them, مِنْهُمَا اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. This verse, of course, has brought a lot of tafsir behind it. That who is this Rabbik? And فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Shaitan forgot, Shaitan caused him to forget to mention it to his Lord, so he stayed in prison for some years. Here, in this translation of Mir Ahmad Ali, he favors the version that the second Rabb refers to Allah, and the whole sentence refers to Yusuf. Other mufassirin, and indeed actually the favored tafsir of this verse is that it doesn't refer to Yusuf or Allah, it refers still to the cupbearer. Okay? So some say that this sentence means that Yusuf mentioned to the wine server, remember me to your Lord, means remember me or remind the king who you are going back to about me. Tell him there is one innocent man in here. But Shaitan caused Yusuf to forget to pray to Allah, and as a result he stayed in prison for a few more years. That is what this fellow is saying.
Who's that guy?
Mir Ahmad Ali.
So this guy is Mir Ahmad Ali and he thinks it's the king.
Well, here he has changed it to make the Lord with a capital L.
So here everything singular and this is Mir Ahmad Ali as well.
We've got that
one. This is the
second
edition. Right.
This is junior.
I don't know why he changed.
He changed a few things in the second edition. The reason being, the second edition was written by... You see, there are some errors in the first edition.
Also, it doesn't make sense that he would forget that all the time. The first thing he says with the prisoners is reminds them of Allah.
No, the verse states that, you know, there is a hadith in Majmu'ul Bayan. Sheikh Tabrasi writes that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am surprised at my brother Yusuf that he asked from a created being and not from the Creator. He asked for help from the created one and not from the creator. This is a hadith. Sahibul Majmul Bayan quotes this. First of all, there are two problems here. The first is that we know that he says to the it is Yusuf alayhi salam, because there's all these he's here. We have to sift them out. In Quran, they are in one go. We have to sift out which is which. Definitely, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ. He said to the one who he knew was going to be saved from the two of them. So the first one definitely refers to Yusuf al-Islam talking to the wine server. اُذْكُرْنِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Remember me to your Lord. Which Lord is he talking about? He's talking about not Allah. He's talking about your Lord, King. Because he talks to him in the same style later on as well. Okay, go back to your Lord and ask him about the story with the women. That is another ayat which we'll come to later on. So that is definitely clear. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. Mufassirin, who favor the view that this still is talking about the cup, the wine server, and I think that is the real view, state three arguments in support. They say first, the word Rabbi was used for the first verse, first part of the verse and the second part of the verse. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same word, he refers to the same thing. So because Rabbi was used in the first part of the verse for the king, in the second part of the verse it also refers to the king, because otherwise there is some ambiguity there. First thing. Second, that it is unlikely that, as Sarfraz pointed out, that a man of Yusuf's ma'rifah, a prophet who had got hikmah and ilm, would forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that way, and would not have prayed to Allah. Right? He would have been praying to Allah for his najah all this time. But there is, you know, so it's unlikely. And the third thing is that if you look at verse number 45, here in verse number 42, ansahu means forgot. Right? He forgot, or shaitan made him forget. In 45, it says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا, and the one of the two who was released, and now at length remembered. So to remember, you have to forget. So they say that because of this, it indicates that this is referring to the wine cell.
And not just that, because of the forgetting, he remained in the prison for a few years.
Now that is interesting.
And then he remembered after a long time.
Yes.
I mean, there's a connection there.
That's right. No, but what he says, no, those people say, okay, it is because he forgot to tell Allah, Allah punished him by making him stay there for a few years.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah? But what the verse we are saying means, yeah, is that because this fellow forgot, Yusuf had to stay in prison for a few more years.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is not just that. Because he forgot, because he remembered right now, therefore he must have forgotten.
Yeah.
And also it says that he remembered after a long time.
Yes, ba'da ummatin.
And because of his forgetting, Yusuf was there for a long time.
That's right. There is one more little twist to this. Go on. Yeah. This is the established Shia view anyway. As soon as we say something else, but there are views.
I mean, they're against Imam Ali. What they got against Yusuf?
No. I think it's also to do with the, even the Shia Mufassirin have got their doubts about it.
No, but they always going to say that. Even
they come into the question of Taraki Aula.
Even if Yusuf asked this prisoner, isn't he just using the means
exactly
around it?
Now what they say is, suppose for example, a man asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps him, he sends one of his agents. The agent could be anything, any avenue of help. Now you don't sit there and say, paka, you know, chat fari ne machi mane male paisa to mane mane eta jo Allah pase. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala roji moklave through another person. A man comes to you and says, I need someone to work. Tu free cho au kam. Nahi, hun khobo Allah mane. Eta to na thai. You know, it's like that man who's sitting on top of his house and there's the flood, the city is flooded, right? And he says, Allah will protect me, Allah will protect me. And, you know, somebody comes in a rowboat and says, come on, you know? Everybody is being evacuated. He said, don't worry about me, Allah will protect me. So he climbs onto the roof and he's sitting on the roof and the helicopter comes and they're about to lower. They say, we can pick you up, let's go. He said, don't worry about me, Allah will protect me. And then he drowns. And he complains bitterly to the Malakul Maut, you know. Yeah, what happened? Allah's. So Malakul Maut told him, Allah, tane boat mokla hai, helicopter mokla hai. Right? Hey, tane jotu jna hai, tane su kar sa, you see? You know, you are being sent help from Allah. What did you want? So Allah himself will not come.
That he sent me.
That he sent me. So the point I'm trying to say is that there are some. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam would have been irresponsible if he had not tried. You see, look at a man, 5 years in prison, nobody is asking about him, and nobody is likely to. Suddenly, there is an opportunity. A man is actually going to be released, and Yusuf knows about it. For him to ask is not unreasonable. Not unreasonable. Although Mufassirin, some Mufassirin of Akhlaq have been a bit tough, and they said, okay, look, we consider this a Tarki Awla. Nasir al-Karim Shirazi says it can be considered a Tarki Awla. Tarki Awla meaning abandoning the better path. That this kind of behavior is okay for normal human beings. But for a prophet it would be inappropriate, and consequently he suffered for it by staying in prison for a couple of years.
But isn't that how he got released anyway?
Yeah, but he stayed extra years.
If he had not asked the person to remember him.
Exactly.
What about there? Wasn't there one? I can't remember. There was a prophet who was ill. He went to a doctor. He said, "Why did you use the name that?" I can't remember.
Vaguely remembered something like that. Now I know. I don't remember I vaguely remember the story, but I don't know whether it was a prophet or a saint or one of the walis or something like that. But essentially it's an interesting conundrum. Like Tahir says, if Nabi Yusuf had not, had kept quiet, this man, he remembered after a time, but he remembered, and that became the means of getting him. Other than that, the fact that he remembered was also something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the event in such a way that the king was going on and on about his dream. Nobody could help him. But suddenly the cupbearer, the wine bearer hears this and he says, oh, I remember now, there's a man who can help.
Why do you think this is Ansar Shaytan? Allah said Shaytan made him forget. Maybe because he was taken in after he was brought out, he was put into the position, the wealth, the position, the status.
That angle
attracted him so much, he just completely forgot. In that way, Shaytan, through the temptations around him, made him forget completely about this guy.
It may be so, because Nasir Makam Shirazi says something very interesting. He says, this is so typical of us, that our sajdas are long, our prayers are, you know, great when we are in problems. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His mercy takes away the problem. You know, suddenly the problem is simplified, it's gone. We forget everything. We forget how desperate we were just the time before. And we go back to our own ways and we forget totally, till the next time something bites. And then again we are back, you know, to the long tasbih and long sajda. It's a bad attitude we have. And this is similar. He was taken out and he was given back to his own glory position and all that. He forgot prison, that he had ever been there. So Nabi Yusuf had been there 5 years, he stayed another two. In total he was there in prison for 7 years.
Also in the tafsir over here, it says that Jacob's prayer was also heard.
What prayer is that?
You know, asking for his son back.
Possibly.
But he was praying like every day.
Maybe.
Possibly. I mean, it was all part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan, because later on He says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفُ. This is how we establish Yusuf when he becomes powerful. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan. The plan had to run its course. There were plots and subplots and people had to act out the thing. But we'll stop here, by the way, in reasonably good time, actually. And we can talk about the next interesting part of this story, which is the king's dream and the interpretation and the rise of power of Yusuf alayhi salam. But essentially what I wanted to say was that this Rabb, as far as the final word on it goes, it doesn't mean Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, right? That this shaitan causes him to forget. There are other proofs I didn't go into because I couldn't find the address of the ayats. But there are ayats where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to shaitan that shaitan tells Allah, we looked at it last time when we were discussing mukhlaseen, okay, I am going to misguide your people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, I am going to misguide your people except the ones who are mukhlaseen. I won't be able to misguide them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah says about Yusuf, innahu min ibadina al-mukhlaseen. Same word. He was mukhlaseen. And so those two words indicate that it could not have been Yusuf that shaitan misguided. There are many proofs, and contemporary, the latest tafsirs, they point towards this being referring to the other man, not Yusuf.
When people make these conjectures, are they doing it on the basis of a hadith or the basis of their own?
There are hadiths that point towards it being Yusuf, you see, because they say, you know, if Yusuf alayhi salam had mentioned it to Allah, had prayed directly to Allah, He would have made for him a way out quicker. There's a hadith from Majmul Bayan, Tabarsi,
Nabi Yusuf or any other prophet would never have mentioned to Allah. Imam Hussein, he never said, Ya Allah, get me out of here. He said, no, that you run your course the way you want it to run.
That's right. But there's a hadith like, look, for example, in Majmul Bayan, I mentioned that hadith of the Prophet. The other hadith says that the moment Yusuf said to this man, Uthkurni inda Rabbik, remember me to your Lord, that means tell him about me, Jibreel Amin came down and said to him, Yusuf, who was it who got you out of the well? And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, when you were in Egypt, who was it who protected you, who gave you a noble station? He said, Allah. He said, when you were in trouble with the women and they were trying to get you to do evil, who was it who got you out of their guile? He said, Allah. He said, what has caused you now to ask a man? Why did you ask a man for your help? And Yusuf alayhi salam kept quiet. And he said to him, because of what you did, you will stay here some more years. So when hadiths like this are found in the books, you know, obviously our job, when you're doing tafsir, you get three kinds of hadiths. The mufassirin, their job is to say, well, look, what is the best sense from this verse first? What hadith can we absolutely reject because they don't make sense according to the verse? That's the first stage. Then you're left with those conflicting hadiths which could both be correct. So you go to other verses from first principles. We know this is the Prophet. He can act this way, he can't act this way. The proofs are in other verses. That way you sort of sift through. And sometimes you're left with two conflicting hadiths. And sometimes you come to one.
That's why we have to compare, look at as it goes contrary to Quran.
Yes, the Quran, that's the first test.
The scene here of Yusuf says, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَاءِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Ibrahim was the ultimate muwahid.
Yeah, exactly.
And but he would never, I mean, when he was being chucked into the fire, and Ibrahim said, you want me to ask Allah to, he said, no, I will ask Allah.
Yeah.
So, and he said, I follow the creed of Ibrahim and Yaqub. So this seems a bit...
Yeah, you see, Nabi Ibrahim also, you see, the question arises, Nabi Ibrahim kida, have you finished that?
In the Quran.
Yeah, Nabi Ibrahim in the Quran says, Nabi Ibrahim in the Quran does not ask anybody else to help him except Allah. Nabi Yusuf asks a wine cell. It doesn't, they're not contradictory. You see, Nabi Ibrahim matiche, a malaika came to him, Jibreel Amin came to him, and said, Ibrahim, you want me to help you? So what would help you, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was not a human agent. It was going to be a supernatural agent anyway. It was going to be a miracle. That was the only thing. He was flying towards fire. There was no human on earth who could save him. He said, no, not from you. Not from you. And that's why Allah says, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman li Ibrahim. Or fire become cold. But for Yusuf, it was a different thing. There was... I still think that if he had sat silently, it would have been irresponsible of him.
Could
it would have been opportunity lost.
Could it be his
I think we're finished now.
But if one of these hadiths, sorry.
Could it be his intention behind it? If, for example, he asked with the full intention, knowing that if it's Allah who's using an agent of Allah, then that would be okay. But if he asked, maybe forgetting that it's Allah who caused him to go and do it anyway, maybe he...
That kind of forgetfulness is unusual. For a prophet, because you see, a prophet is after all someone who has I think we have not recording anymore.
Does it matter?
No, you know, I mean, we're talking about the same thing. A prophet has reached a certain level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, in conferring to him prophethood, gives him some extra safeguards. He does not forget, you see, because how can he forget and be a prophet? They don't, it's impossible.
Nabi Sulaiman.
Very, very contentious. Very, very doubtful in tafsir. In tafsir, etlu uluche contradictory, controversial. One tafsir says that he was stroking the horses and he forgot the time for namaz. Because that is what the ayat says. Is it? But again, our ulama and also Imam of the Hadith Prophet ne judge karo. It means something totally different. It doesn't mean this ke namaz no time chali gyu nahi busy rahi abhi ja kaam. Eno tafsir umbra ba check karne ta milay this. For we discuss Sulaiman.
We have about Prophet Muhammad sleeping on the Tayyib
leaving. Prophet didn't miss namaz. Al-Imam Ali missed. The hadith states ke peghamber namaz pali da tha Imam Ali war ma tha ne jare war alag bada jare Khaybar jiti gaya they were all resting the Muslim army ne badu ne you know they were on the same day good news aaya pacha Jafar pan pacha aaya ne Abyssinia on the same day so it was double celebration Jafar had come after so much time and Muslims had won at Khaybar so peghamber je chhe ne sui gaya Imam Ali nazanu Imam Ali alayhi salam je chhe ne did not want to disturb him. And the joy is that Asr no time, Zohar to pray. Asr no time, khalas tai se thai se. Mufassirin say that this is a very dubious hadith. And Ali ibn Abi Talib says that one baju Khuda no farman che, ek baju paighamban ye rahat che. He may have waited, not to disturb the Prophet, but he would not have waited till Qaza. કારણ કે દેટ અગેન ઇઝ મીન્સ કે હી ડિફાઈઝ ગોડ્સ ઓર્ડર. ને પછી શું થાય છે કે પેગંબર જે છે જયારે સૂરજ એકચ્યુઅલી ઓલું થઈ જાય છે ત્યારે ઇમામ અલી રોવા બેસે છે. રોવા બેસે છે તો એના આંસુ પડે છે પેગંબર ઉપર. પેગંબર ઉઠશે કેમ રોય છે? મારા વસ્તુનો ટાઈમ કદા થઈ ગયો. તો ત્યારે પેગંબર દુઆ કરે છે કે હું વાસ્તો આપું છું અલીને નમાઝ, તો ધ સન કમ્સ બેક. હવે દેર ઇઝ અ પ્રોબ્લમ, દેર આર મેની પ્રોબ્લમ્સ વિથ ધેટ હદીસ. And ulama have gone into it. I mean, first problem is that it is unlikely. You see, Sheikh Shahid Mutahhari says something very interesting. If you study the hadith, you look at the content and then say, okay, would Imam have done something? Is it, okay, actually Imam Hussain Nabaram upon the hadith, would Imam have acted like this? He wouldn't have acted like this. Currently, you have to weigh the two things. Ek baju peghamba ni rahat chhe, bada bachhe. Peghamba nu maan, sutta ta ne bada. એક બાજુ નમાઝ કદા થાય છે, વિચ યુ કેનોટ ડુ ફોર એની રીઝન. એક અને બીજું, જો સૂરજ જો ઉપર થયું હોત પાછું, તો ઇટ વુડ હેવ બીન અ ફિનોમિનલ મિરેકલ. ફોર એક્ઝામ્પલ, આઈ મીન ટુ પુટ ધી અર્થ બેક, યુ નો, ઓન રોટેટ. અને ફગેટ ધ ફેક્ટ કે ફિઝિકલી ઇટ વુડ હેવ બીન વેરી ડિફિકલ્ટ ટુ પુલ ઓફ. ઇટ વુડ હેવ બીન ડન એઝ અ મિરેકલ ઓબ્વિયસલી, બટ ઇટ વુડ નોટ હેવ એસ્કેપ્ડ હિસ્ટરીઝ એટેન્શન. એવરીબડી વુડ હેવ રિટન અબાઉટ ઇટ.
Is that the masjid?
Yes, Suraj Pachwai.
Is that the masjid of Radu Shams? Is that what it's all about?
Masjid of Radu Shams means the mosque where Imam Peygamber Isharat when the sun went
but
back.
Is that for the same story?
Radu Shams means the return of the Shams.
But is it related to this story?
It is related to this story.
So we're saying the story is not true?
We're saying the story is highly dubious.
So the Wahhabis are perfectly right to not
worry. Wahhabis, they are not worried about the story.
They just knocked it down recently, last week or two.
Based on the fake hadith. No, I must say, there are many ahadith. You know, I mean, once you study hadith, you realize that there are a lot of hadith which become very current and very popular, but they're not based on solid truths. And obviously, if we try to break them all apart, people are disturbed. Why people are disturbed is because it goes against everything they believe. Suddenly, you are telling them that something they grew up with, which they believe to be true. I have had someone come and tell me after I gave a talk once, Abbas, I wish you had not said these things. Why? I personally believe that the people don't need to know that all these things are wrong, because it shakes their foundation in everything then. I said, you're right. But that is a point in itself. But at the same time, we need to rise a bit, and we need to try to understand the truth. There is plenty of truth.
But many times, most of our, when you mention it, he says, but it makes no difference to your akidah. I mean, is your faith built on dubious stories?
True. See, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam does not need Radu Shams. His personality is so clear, so shining. You know, he doesn't require people to say 300 ayats in the Quran are about him. Doesn't need that. He has got enough credentials on his own merits, even from Quran. I think we bring this to an end.